Chapter 20. Stephen opens the door to a woman with a worried face. "Who?" the woman begins, then looks past him and says with relief, "Belle." "Penny," Belle replies. "Come in, come in." Stephen stands aside and the woman enters. He scans the yard and the street, sees nothing that causes him concern, and closes the door. The two women have moved to the living room. Stephen joins them.
"Penny, this is Stephen O'Connor. Stephen, this is Penny Fiddler."
Penny Fiddler is tall and slender. Her hair is long and caramel-colored, her eyes blue and intense. There's something athletic in the way she moves, as if she's preparing to sprint or to wrestle.
"Stephen's helping me look for Lou," Belle explains.
"Lou still hasn't come home?"
"Come home from where?"
"Another one of his damn trips to Canada.
It was kind of a last straw for Dolores, and she took off herself, asked me to collect her mail."
She puts a stack of envelopes and catalogs on the coffee table.
"She said she was going to track down an Ojibwe man who might be able to help clear her thinking."
"Henry Malou," Stephen says.
"That sounds right.
If you don't mind me asking, who are you to Dolores and Lou?" Stephen asks.
"I live across the street. Dolores and I jog together in the mornings."
"I've jogged with him sometimes," Belle says. Penny barely breaks a sweat.
"We're golf partners, too."
She moves to the mantel and lifts a trophy.
"We won this together at the country club last year.
Lord, can that girl putt."
Stephen can't quite place the woman's accent.
"You're not from around here."
"Arkansas," she says. "Moved here when I was in my 20s for a job. Told my grandmother I'd be back in 2 years. Didn't count on meeting Bob and putting down roots, but that's the way it goes."
She sets the trophy back on the mantel.
"I didn't mean to sick the cops on you, Belle. I saw the Jeep and, well, after that prowler the other night. You understand."
"Of course," Belle says. "Can you stay for a few minutes?"
"Happy to."
"Coffee?"
"Dolores keeps a bottle of good bourbon in that cabinet over there. I'm sure she wouldn't mind if you poured me a little. I take it neat."
When they've settled and Penny Fiddler is sipping her bourbon, Stephen says,
"A man showed up in Aurora yesterday pretending to be Lou. He was looking for Dolores."
"Whatever for?"
"We don't know. What we do know is that Dolores was with Henry Malou and some men came for her. It looks like their intentions weren't good. As nearly as we can tell, Dolores and Henry and Stephen's stepmother fled into the woods to get away. The men followed them."
"Oh, my God. Are they okay?"
"People are searching for them right now, but there's a snowstorm that's complicated things," Belle says. Penny sips her bourbon, shakes her head.
"It's something to do with Lou, I swear to God. Dolores told me she was hoping this Malou might be able to help her figure out what's going on. She's tried to be patient, but lately that man could wear the horns off a goat."
"Why do you say that?" Stephen asks.
"There's nothing but darkness in him lately. Dolores has tried to get him to talk to her, but he won't say boo about it. You ask me, he's the one could use some help from this Malou."
"You think it has something to do with his trips to Canada?"
"Dolores thinks that for sure,"
Penny says. "Lou handles properties in Canada, too," Belle explains. "Our dad is Canadian. Actually, Kekakosabe Anishinaabe out of Manitoba. Lou, Anton, and I were born here, so we have dual citizenship. Lou is licensed to practice in Canada as well as the U.S.
"Is this all about real estate, about business?" Stephen says.
Penny takes another sip of bourbon and makes a disapproving sound in her throat.
"What is it?" Stephen asks.
"I'm not one to speak out of school, but the business he's about could well be monkey business."
"What?" Stephen presses.
"Katie,"
Penny says, as if the word is obscene.
"Who's Katie?"
Dolores told me, in strictest confidence, she emphasizes, that she thought Lou might be having an affair.
With a woman named Katie? Belle looks at Stephen. See? What did I tell you? Is there a last name? Stephen asks.
Katie is all Dolores knew. She overheard Lou talking on his cell phone and mentioning her name. When she asked him about it, he clammed up.
She overheard him talking just the once?
A few times, I guess, but when she pressed the issue, he blew up at her. And there's something else. Bob and Lou play a lot of golf together. A couple of weeks ago, when Bob came back from playing, he told me about something strange that happened on the course.
What was that? Stephen says.
Lou was having a great round. Then he gets a call on his cell phone. He talks for a while, and the name Katie comes up a bunch of times. When he ended the call, he looked like he'd just seen a banshee or something. His face had gone white, his hands shaking. He played one more hole, badly, then begged off, said he wasn't feeling well. Now you tell me what kind of woman would scare a man to death.
Let's hold on a minute, Stephen says. Even if your brother is having an affair, what possible connection could that have with the people who are chasing Rainey and Henry and Dolores? Seems to me there's got to be more at stake here. The prowler the other night, was he looking for Lou or for Dolores? They were gone. So maybe something the guy thought might be here in the house? Belle offers. They're all quiet for a moment. Then Stephen remembers a detail. When we got here, the alarm system was already disabled. That prowler, did the cops catch him going in or did they catch him coming out? Penny shrugs.
Don't know.
The man pretending to be Lou said he found a note Dolores left, Stephen says, and also a journal she kept. That's what led him to Aurora and Henry Malou.
Dolores wrote in her journal every day, Penny says. If she had some kind of insight while we were jogging or golfing, she'd say, I need to put that in my journal. A little too compulsive that way, you ask me.
Any idea where she keeps her journal? Stephen asks.
She uses one of the spare bedrooms as a kind of office for herself, Belle says. Whenever I've stayed with them, she's spent a while in there writing before going to bed at night. So maybe the spare bedroom?
Belle leads the way upstairs. In the bedroom, there's a small writing table by a window, but it's bare except for a clay jar that holds pens and pencils.
Maybe she hides it, Stephen suggests. Doesn't want anyone prying?
They search the room, then the master bedroom and the other spare bedrooms, but find nothing.
The cops showed up before we had a chance to check the rooms downstairs, Stephen says. Maybe it's somewhere down there.
In a large back room, the room Belle says is Lou's office, the file drawers have been opened and files scattered about the floor. The chair at the computer desk has been shoved away, and the drawers there stand open. Belle takes a deep breath, lets out a sigh.
Pretty clear that guy the other night got inside.
Could be there's some good news in this, Stephen says.
Good news?
Belle looks at him as if he's a little nuts. What good news could there possibly be?
From what I'm seeing here, I'm guessing whatever they're after, they think Lou has it. If that's true, maybe they're after Dolores because they think she can lead them to him, which could mean your brother's hiding out somewhere and is okay.
Then why doesn't he answer his cell phone?
Maybe he's afraid they'll use the signal to track him.
He could call from a different phone, couldn't he? Belle's voice carries a sharp edge.
Honey, relax. Stephen's just trying to look at this in a positive light.
Penny glances around and shakes her head.
Look, I should be getting home. But listen, you get any news or you need anything, you give me a holler, okay?
She gives Belle a hug.
I'll see myself out.
When she's gone, Belle says, I haven't eaten since lunch. I'm hungry. How about you? The mess in the office cries out to be sorted through, but Stephen knows it will be a daunting task.
I could eat.
They work together on the meal. Stephen whips up an omelet with mushrooms, ham, and cheese, and Belle makes toast. They eat at the counter in the huge kitchen.
Where'd you learn to cook?
Belle asks.
We've owned a burger joint forever. I grew up cooking.
You look like you might have some native blood in you.
My great-grandmother Dilsey was pure-blood Iron Lake Ojibwe.
Mother's side or father's?
Dad's family.
My mother's half-Irish, Belle says.
Flaherty. That's where Lou gets his Irish good looks. Like I said, in Anton and me, it's our beautiful Ojibwe genes that show. I'm the only sibling in my family whose Ojibwe genes show. Even though she was Irish, my mother was proud of the native side of my heritage and wanted to be sure I was proud of it too.
Was?
She died a few years ago.
I'm sorry.
She was an attorney. She represented the Iron Lake Ojibwe.
Good for her, Belle says.
What made you want to go into law? Stephen asks. Following in your brother's footsteps?
Lou left the res and did well on his own, but he hasn't been particularly generous with our people. I wanted to give back in some way. We have more legal fights than you can shake a stick at, so I decided to join the battle.
Noble, Stephen says.
Necessary, she responds. What about you, going to take over the family burger business?
I'm just finishing up my associate degree in criminal justice at our local community college.
Going to be a cop then?
Maybe. Or maybe a lawyer like my mother.
And you? He says with a smile.
Not sure yet. I've been accepted at the U of M for the fall. I'll just see how the spirit moves me there.
It's late by the time they've cleaned up. Stephen makes a final call to the Tamara County Sheriff's Office. His stomach draws taut as Marcia Dross delivers the details of the rifle assault on his father and Anton Morisot. He's relieved that no one was hurt. Stephen tells her about the prowler, but admits that he has nothing concrete to offer on his end. When he hangs up, he reports everything to Belle. These people are willing to kill, she says. Why?
Henry Malou would say that we're seeing the web the spider has woven, but we still have to find the spider. Maybe things will be clear in the morning. I think we should turn in.
Belle says, I'll take the room across from Lou and Dolores' bedroom. It's where I usually sleep. You can take any of the others.
I think I'll just crash on the living room sofa, if that's okay. It's as big as a bed.
Suit yourself.
What do we do tomorrow?
I'll think about that. Maybe I'll have an answer in the morning. But before you go upstairs, let's reset the alarm and the door locks with new codes.
New codes? Why?
The alarm wasn't set when we came in.
That could mean that the prowler was able to disarm it, which may mean he had the code. He also got into the house in the first place, which may mean he had the code for the door lock as well. If we don't want to be surprised in the night, we should change the codes.
I don't know how.
I do.
When Belle gives him a questioning look, Stephen replies,
I told you my dad was a cop. He's a PI now. I've learned a few things from him. Come on.
When he's finished keying in the new codes, Stephen wishes her good night, then watches as she heads upstairs. Her hair is long and black, like a river of liquid onyx. What he tries to think about is how sharp her mind is and how good her heart. But he can't help noticing as well how nice she looks as she climbs the stairs.